To the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob Benyart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Back in April, you'll recall the broadcast we aired titled Canadian Polish Pastor Kicks Out the COVID Cops. Well, a member of our Denver Bible Church, Chris from Poland, he joined me in studio to talk about where the Calgary pastor was coming from when he yelled, "You Gestapo Nazi Communist Fascist." Well, Christopher's family saw in Poland firsthand the loss of freedom and how the left can hardly stop themselves from robbing people of their freedom, especially freedom from those of us who are God-fearing. In 1 minute, we'll talk to Pastor Artur Pawlowski himself. But first, let's hear again about 30 seconds of that audio that encouraged Christians around the world. Remember, the Apostle Paul stood up for his rights and demanded his rights. And so let's hear that now from Alberta, Canada.
Out! Out of this property, you Nazis! Out! Out! Gestapo is not allowed here. Immediately, Gestapo is not allowed! Out! Do you understand English? Get out of this property. Go. So go. Go. And don't come back without a warrant. Out, Nazi. Out. Out.
He has since been arrested, incarcerated, and released from jail just a week ago. What an honor now to speak with Pastor Artur Pawlowski. Pastor, can we start at the beginning of the saga? What was the situation prior to you ordering the police out of your church?
Well, thank you very much for having me in. Yes, this whole thing started way, way, way back, 2005, actually, when we started to feed the homeless people and the authorities declared that feeding the homeless is illegal. And that triggered a battle with the government for 10 years. We won all of that stuff. I was arrested a dozen times, about 100 court cases, about 300 tickets. And we won that in 2015. They let us go with permits and everything. And then the COVID hit. So we have to understand that this attack on our freedoms, this is nothing new. They have tried this for a long time, and they're slowly taking everything from us. First, they took the Bibles from the public square. They forbidden prayers in school. They removed 10 commandments from our official buildings and the courthouses, then the prayers from our city hall. So this is just another attack, another attempt using a crisis to remove Christianity from the public square completely. Yes,
Pastor, when you were arrested a dozen times over a decade, it immediately makes me think of the book of Hebrews in the Hall of Faith, where that chapter, half of the people that God honors by mentioning them in that chapter, half of them were incarcerated, arrested by the government, prosecuted, really persecuted and prosecuted by the governing authorities. So thank you. It's so refreshing to hear from a pastor who's willing to stand up the way the apostles were, the way the prophets were. Even Jesus Christ was arrested. And so thank you for that leadership.
Well, thank you very much. You know, when I read the Bible, in my Bible, sometimes I'm thinking that others, especially clergymen, are reading a totally different Bible. Right. But in my Bible, it says, pick up your cross daily. Follow me. If you love me, Jesus says, obey my commandments. And when you obey God's commandments, the enemy is not going to be happy. The enemy will notice you. The enemy will come, and the enemy will try to intimidate you, scare you, just like Goliath did to Israelites. So you have two types of men. You got the Israelites that were terrified of the giant in the land. And then you got a nobody smelling like a sheep coming and seeing this scene and saying, what is going on here? I thought we are working for God, and he's the creator of heavens and the earth, and he has created our enemies, and he holds our enemies in the palm of his hands. In other words, it's up to God. If he wants us to win, we will win, and there is no one and nothing that can stop us. So what happened was, we have a homosexual Muslim mayor for many years, and he's a colored man, so he's using this race card on nonstop. Even last election, he says, if you don't vote for me, you're racist.
Right, exactly.
So what happens, last March, I received a document from City Hall telling me I have to stop feeding the homeless. We feed thousands of people a week on the streets of Calgary. And I disagreed. I said, those people are mentally ill because the mental institutions have been shut down in Canada, and those people are roaming the streets. If I don't feed them, they're going to die. They're going to hurt others. They're going to break into houses, cars, garages. And the government disagreed. The mayor disagreed. I appealed it to the ministers in the province of Alberta. They disagreed. So I decided to do a civil disobedience, and I kept feeding the homeless. So one day, about a dozen officers shows up. I end up with a ticket. I was the first clergyman to get a ticket, COVID ticket, I call them, in Canada. My parishioner was shoved, assaulted, and I was warned that I'll be arrested and fined up to $1 million. So that's how it continued until December. Constant harassment, police videotaping us, taking pictures, intimidating our parishioners, harassing our volunteers. And the culmination of this whole ordeal was December, when the federal, provincial, and municipal government declared the Christmas is canceled. They came on TV and they said, we're canceling Christmas. You cannot see your parents. You cannot have a coffee with your brother. That's it. No dinners, no presents. You do virtually. I mean, it's insanity. So what I did, I went also on camera and I said, I'm inviting the whole city of Calgary and anyone that wishes to come to the biggest Christmas celebration in the country. So lots of people showed up.
Wow.
We had hundreds of presents for the homeless. We did a AAA steak dinner for them. It was an incredible time. Carolers singing and people sharing testimony.
So, Pastor, when these bureaucrats said that they're canceling Christmas, this is like people who are addicted to crack cocaine. Control freaks are addicted to control, especially when they think that they could squash, silence the gospel of Jesus Christ, those who love the Lord. That's one of the greatest opportunities in their lives they think they have, and they don't want to miss out on that opportunity. In reality, there is a God in heaven who sees what's happening. And so we, as pastors here in America and Canada, we need to be willing to stand up and not be afraid. What did you call? You said the kid who smelled like sheep. You must have been talking about King David.
Yes.
Right? And he said, of Goliath, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? So you had a wonderful Christmas event. What happened?
Well, I also had a wonderful about 100 police officers showing up, 52 police cars, about 20 cops on bicycles, videotaping us, taking pictures, and I end up with 11 COVID tickets from that event. So that was in the outdoor. The ministry is called Street Church. We are on the streets feeding the homeless people, the most vulnerable, and we have been doing this for the past 22 years. Now, I also pastor another church in the building where I teach history and theology, and they kind of left us alone in that facility until one day they didn't, and I usually open the church myself to get everything ready, and I arrived only to find out that our parking lot was blocked by the authorities, and they were preventing people from coming to the church's parking lot. Mm-hmm. I was police, there was health inspectors, and irony, the health inspectors, most of them are from China, and they hardly speak English, so it has been challenging to see the attack from the communist China on our sovereign nation right now by using I call them spies. I mean, there is no doubt in me that those people are sleepers. They have been planted here to destroy democracy in Canada, and that's what they're doing for the past 15 months. Mm-hmm. So it took me an hour to fend off those hyenas, to tell them they're trespassing, what they're doing is illegal. Eventually they left, only to come back a few weeks later, and this time with a different tactic. They had those big lenses, and they started to take pictures of our women and children. And why is this so important? Because that's exactly what the Gestapo did and the KGB. If they could not get to a man, they always took pictures of his children and a wife. And this is how the story was unfolding.
It's an intimidation tactic.
That's right. We can get to you. Maybe we won't kill you, but you know what? We can rape your wife. We know where she works, and one day she will not come home, and you don't know what we're going to do to her.
Well, this is reality in the history of the world, just in the 1900s and to today in places around this globe. So when we see our freedoms being robbed from us and we recognize where that leads, 1,000 times over in human history, we need to stand up and fight.
That's exactly. You know, the writing is on the wall. Like some people are saying, oh, enemies approaching. I said, you know what? I started to warn you 16 years ago when the authorities came to me and they declared that feeding the homeless, congregating and preaching is illegal. And I was the first clergyman to be arrested in Canada for publicly reading Bible. I faced a year of jail time. And I was very vocal. I said, listen, this is an attack on your freedoms. They are trying to bring communism here, a godless society. Be careful. And then, you know, I said the enemy is right now not coming, it's not approaching, it's not within the gates. The enemy is within. We are surrounded by haters of democracy, haters of Christianity right here in our own cities. So going back to the story, we fend off those hyenas as well, and they eventually left. And only to come back with, listen to this, with a SWAT team. Okay, they came back with a SWAT team. I have zero record of violence. I have never been even charged with assault of any sort. I have no violent history at all. And the people that are coming are Christians. It's a peaceful assembly. It's a Christian church. And we do not advocate violence. However, they decided to come with a SWAT team. And I'm thinking to myself, what is wrong with our democratic society right now? What's going on? Our Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, came on public and he said that he admires the dictatorship that China has because then you can do things quickly. That's what he said on public. So one day I'm opening the church and behold, I look to my left and they are right in walking into the holy place, into the sanctuary. I just couldn't believe it. It took me a second to comprehend what's really going on. Wow, this is absolute insanity. So I asked them, please get out. They would not move. So I ran to my pulpit where my telephone was being charged and I started to record. And that's the video that I've heard over a billion people watched and was the number one played video on air during the Easter weekend. That was our Passover. That was Easter weekend. And I was preaching on the story of Exodus, let my people go. So that's exactly what I had in my heart. Get out. And they would not move. You know, someone counted how many times I had to tell them to get out. It was over 30 times. Right. Eventually they leave. I uploaded the video before my sermon, and I was very surprised that this little incident inspired so many millions of people around the world. I was humbled. I'm still humbled that God used something like this. I have done that before. I have been protecting what God has given to me many times through many years, but
this time it went around the world. And Pastor, here at our church, we're a homeschool activist church. We fight to protect unborn children in the womb. Our church members, we celebrated. We cheered. You had people up on their feet, clapping their hands, thanking God that someone would be bold and stand up to injustice.
So eventually they go. They go, they leave. I'm thinking, okay, we survived another day. Because, you know, it's one day at a time. When the enemy is attacking, you have to have the strategy given to you from God. And sometimes what I do not premeditate. It just comes out of me. And sometimes I'll shake my head myself. I'm thinking, what have I done? What did I say? Right. But so far, so good. They came back a few weeks later with the SWAT team demanding entry to the building. And, you know, this is the most bizarre thing. I offered them many times to come and inspect the facility outside of the worship. I mean, do not intimidate and harass people while they're on their knees and crying to God and praying. This is insanity. What's wrong with you people? But they have no decency. They have no moral standards whatsoever. They're from China. And, you know, as you know, the Chinese government hates God. Anything that is good and decent, there's no such a thing as human rights. And that's what they're implementing.
What do you mean when you say they are from China? Now, when Trudeau praised China, that country has, what, 1.4 billion people who basically are enslaved. They have the Stockholm syndrome, many of them. They have their freedoms robbed, their right to worship God robbed from them. And Trudeau, and that country also, they've had decades of forced abortion, decades. And for Trudeau to honor them shows really what is in the heart of the left, because it's not only him, he's the darling of the left in America. So, but what do you mean when you say they're from China? You mean they're in the same mold?
Yes, I'm not suggesting that all of those people are Chinese. I'm saying they are from the same party. They're following the same master, the Chinese Communist Party. Right. So they have the same ideology and the same methods. That's why, you know, people will ask me, why would you call them Nazis, Gestapo, Communists, KGB? Well, listen, because they're acting like those boys of old. They are acting identically. Yes, they're not murdering us yet. Yes, they're not clubbing us to death yet. They started to do that in different cities in Canada, including Calgary, when they started to beat up people because they dared to protest. So they're starting on the same pattern, because we have to understand that Adolf Hitler was democratically elected and he slowly implemented dictatorship. It was not overnight.
Right.
It didn't happen, okay, I'm a tyrant and I'm going to murder half of Europe. No. It was a graduate process. It took him over 10 years. And exactly the same thing is happening right now. They're implementing tyranny. They're using medical tyranny. They're using invisible enemy, the so-called virus. And they're implementing their ideology left and right. That's why the government here in Canada paid off the media. $3 billion were given to this propaganda machinery. That's why nonstop what you're hearing is COVID, 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 COVID. Be scared. We're going to die. It's pandemia. It's this and that. Overwhelming system. No, the hospitals are empty. My mom is still in a hospital. She would send me pictures and videos. The hospitals are empty. We had less hospitalization in 2020 than in 2018 and 2019. We had a record low in ICU admissions since 2015. No, we're not in the middle of pandemic. We have a sickness. Yes, there is a something going on. Yes, people get sick. Like every year, people get sick. And every year, people do die. Right. That's just reality of life. So going back to the story, I asked them to leave. They did, only to come back half hour later. And they tried that with my associate pastor. And he fended off those hyenas as well. And I thought maybe they will just leave us be, because why I was thinking like that, because the mosques are open. The imams, there is not one imam that has been charged with a COVID ticket in the country. And yet hundreds of pastors, thousands of Christians have been charged, or tens of thousands right now. The churches have been shut down. But
here in America, the churches were shut down, the liquor stores, the pot dispensaries and the strip joints were open, but the churches were shut down.
The same here. Abortion clinics are open and all those places. You know, it's a bizarre thing because they're shutting down the small businesses, a little, you know, grocery stores across the street that are actually capable of keeping people safe. And yet they're opening Walmarts, Safeways, Superstores, Costcos, and IKEAs with hundreds of people. I can take my whole church and half of my neighborhood to Costco,
right,
and, you know, shoulder to shoulder, do whatever I want to do, give my speeches if they would allow me to do it. And that's all perfectly legal. However, if I got 20 people in the church, that's already punishable to the fullest of the law. Mm-hmm. And you will be arrested, ticketed, and sentenced to jail. So going back forward, they came with a court order telling us that we have to now open the doors for them, and they got right to come anytime they want, any day of the week, with whomever they want to. That's the judge that gave them that ability. So when they showed up, I simply took the church outside and I said, here is the door open. You want to come to the church, go inspect the chairs and whatever you want to inspect, your Nazis. But we're going to have church outside. Oh, they didn't like that, because their plan was always to shut us down. They're not right. there for health. They're not there to inspect for the benefit of the people. They are to shut down churches. That's the purpose. They are not shutting down the mosques. They're shutting down the churches. And they didn't do the inspection. They refused to go in. I mean, it's a bizarre thing. For half a year or 4 months, they wanted to come in. And now when I opened the doors, they refused to go.
Right.
Fast forward. Suddenly, we have a church service and the SWAT team shows up again. I mean, that's the new gig, to come with a SWAT team, anti-terrorist group, police. They showed up and I was already in the middle of the service, so I didn't witness that. However, I was told the SWAT team is coming. So I thought to myself, okay, they're going to arrest me at the pulpit, I think. And they didn't enter. They just dropped something on the ground and they left. Mm-hmm. And then someone yelled to me, the SWAT team took off. I said, oh, praise the Lord. So I guess they're not going to arrest me right now. And they left. So I didn't think twice about it. I preached, of course, fiery sermon. I said, this is unbelievable what's happening. We got to rise up. We got to stand up. We got to push this evil away, because the bullies will never stop. Bullies will keep bullying. You have to stop the bully. Evil never stops. Evil has to be stopped. Mm. So what I did, I continued. I prayed for the people. We worshiped God and people left home. I closed the church and we were driving back home. And in the middle of the highway, we were stopped by the anti-terrorist group, the SWAT team.
Wow.
And I was told that I'm under arrest. I mean, this was unbelievable. And on top of that, my brother is under arrest as well. I was like, what? Okay, I opened the church. I officiated the church service. I get that. But why my brother?
Hmm.
Well, our lawyer said that they took the brother just to intimidate, to harass, just to put pressure on me that, hey, we can come after your whole family. And that actually fits with the announcements from the premier of Alberta, Jason Kenney, this evil, wicked terrorist. He comes in front of the cameras and this is what he says. I will crush Pavlovskis. What kind of a man says stuff like this? I mean,
right.
A Nazi Gestapo SS commander? I mean, Stalin? Who this guy thinks he is? In the capacity of the premier of Alberta, he comes before the cameras and he says, I'll crush Pavlovskis? Mm. Excuse me, why would you like to crush me? Because I feed thousands of your people without charging a penny? Taxpayers, why you want to crush me? Because I opened the church for the people that are depressed and suicidal and they want to have a glimpse of hope. That's why you want to crush me? It's insanity. Mm. So we were taken to jail and we don't have time to, I don't think we have time to, you know, for me to tell the whole story, but we were roughed up. We were deprived of sleep for 2 days and two nights.
Mm-hmm.
We were not allowed to sleep. They were banging on the doors. The lights were so bright that was insane. You couldn't fall asleep even if you wanted to. I was so tired and I could not. Also, we were forced to stay to sleep on, if we could sleep, on the concrete. So they forced us to sit on the concrete all that time. And I'm telling you, after a few hours, every bone in your body is in pain. Right. You can't sit. You can lay down. You try on the one side, on the second side. It's a torture. It's a form of torture. That's mm-hmm. what they were doing to us. And communists used it as well. And the Gestapo used it as well, that they would deprive people from sleep for days.
Well, and then you actually are not fully in control of your faculties. You can't make the kinds of decisions that you would make if you're not sleep deprived. So there is a real risk there also then of you doing something where they really might get you on something that's actually threatening. But at any rate, you guys, you both were released about a week ago, right?
Yes, they kept us for 3 days. And even though the judge ordered our release, they kept us 7 hours after the court gave that order. So they were mocking us in jail. They were roughing us up. They put chains on our legs, and they, you know, pushed me on the wall and actually stole my property in front of cameras and everyone over there. They took my properties and they threw it into the garbage bin. I mean, when I said, "What are you doing? That this is illegal," he pushed me on the wall and he says, "Oh, are we going to have a problem with you?" So they were looking. And one time they said, "If you do anything, we'll charge you with assaulting a peace officer." So they tried everything, intimidation, harassment, torture, just to get me snapped so they can justify this arrest. Because at this moment, what they did was unlawful. Everything they're doing, those people are gangsters in uniforms. That's what they are. And they are obeying the orders of a gangster, a mafia type of an individual, Premier of Alberta, Jason Kenney. So finally, they released us, and behold, a helicopter, police helicopter, and a police a pickup truck was following us all the way to our home from jail. So I guess we are the most dangerous terrorists right now in the city of Calgary. And that's not the end of the story. Someone set my house on fire on Saturday.
Oh, no.
So the media were, they did the story, of course, how horrible we are, that we're not. We're endangering public and we're super spreaders and we have a total disregard to human life. So someone decided to murder us and they set our garage on fire. And it was tough to see, you know, lots of our stuff being burnt. And the fire chief said that if this would go on for 5 minutes, the whole house would burn down and us in it. Wow. So wow. Unbelievable. Unbelievable people. Weak, you know,
is there, Pastor, is there a chance that the arsonist will be caught? Do you think there's neighborhood video? Are the police looking to find who did this?
Well, they're looking, but think about it. Everyone is masked in the city of Calgary. So you put right. the hoodie, you got the mask on. I mean, it's a perfect scenario for the villains right now, right? It's right. a free pass for them. So it is what it is. We are putting our trust in God. This is our time to come and say to God, "Here we are, Lord, use us." Mm-hmm. Here we are. This is the greatest separation between the sheep and the goats and the sheep and the wolves. Right now you see who is the real deal and who is a pretendee, a hired gun, if you will, just doing his job. And when the wolves came, where are those heroes of faith? Where are those pastors, those leaders? They run away and hide behind the Zoom chats. I mean, this is the most pathetic thing I've ever seen in my life. The leaders that a year ago were preaching fiery sermons are nowhere to be found right
wow.
now.
Wow. Pastor, we're about out of time, but there are people all over the world praying for you and your church. In Denver, our Denver Bible Church, we've sued the state and the federal government. We actually have had some success, federal injunctions against masks and capacity. And now we've taken the suit to the U.S. Supreme Court, and the Colorado Attorney General has responded to our lawsuit at the Supreme Court. We haven't heard yet from the justices whether they will take up the case, but we're fighting in that way. And also, Pastor, for a year, we've said, forget the masks, forget social distancing, forget capacity limits. We come together and worship the Lord. Fear has its consequences. And when they put fear on the church and on the public at large, they're causing more damage than the virus is causing.
That's right. If anyone would like to contact me,
yes,
you can art@streetchurch.ca. art@streetchurch.ca. Thank you so much. Be blessed. And
you're welcome. And we will link to your email ID. This is Bob Benyart. May God bless you.